Oh, praise God. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, hallelujah. We serve a God of victory, 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 victory. Hallelujah. We are overcomers in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. We are with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got up this morning and just a scripture came up on my heart, and it's from Philippians 4, 6 through 8, and it's what we're supposed to be thinking about. And I thought, well, you know, Lord, we could hear that every day. It's something that we need to be reminded about of over and over again. I'm going to be reading all of my scriptures in the New King James. And I'm going to start in Philippians 4, 6, and just for good measure, because those verses are so good, it says, "Be anxious or worried for nothing, but in everything." In how much? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when things, troubling thoughts come our way, what are we supposed to do? Take them to the Lord. And in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, hallelujah, and the God of peace, hallelujah, will guard our hearts and minds. And then verse 8 is our key scripture tonight that we're going to be putting a lot of attention on. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So we are to think on all of these things is where our mind is going to be on. And we're going to go through them kind of one by one and look at how we are to think. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The way we think is what we are. And then in Matthew, it says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And so what we have in our heart is what is going to come out. And then Proverbs tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the way to keep from talking bad is to keep our hearts right and our thoughts right, corral our thoughts to think right. Our minds are recording devices. The 30,000 random thoughts that cross our minds daily must be focused. Did you know they've studied it, and we have about 30,000 thoughts come through our mind every day. And so we have to corral them and focus them. "When negative or unacceptable thoughts pop up, instantly replace them with a good thoughts. You'll like the increased level of peace when you direct your mind instead of it directing you." We are to direct our thoughts and not let our thoughts direct us. Hallelujah. It's important. And because we live in a dirty world and we watch TV and everything's negative in the world. Most everything's negative. And because we live in this world, we have to filter out those thoughts. And it's important to dump the trash every day. Just dump it. Whatever trash comes in there, get rid of it. Because if you don't dump trash, what happens? It starts to stink. And so it's important to, you know, if we've been around the wrong influence, if we've gotten negative about anything, we need to step back and get rid of the negativism. Get rid of the trash and the things bombarding our mind, the doubt and unbelief, the fear, the confusion. All those things are things that have to be dumped. The first thing it tells us, it says to think about things that are true. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is true. He is the truth. And so Jesus is a good thing to think about. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them, praying for his body, his people, by your truth, and your word is truth. So we need to always have our mind on the word of God. Train our thoughts back to what does the word say about it. And because that's where our victory is. The devil is the opposite of truth. He's the father of lies. I'm going to read John 8:44. And it says, you are the father, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. So there's no truth in the devil. You know, if the devil's putting thoughts in our mind, there's no truth to it. It's a lie. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we know the devil is the father of lies. And the battleground is the mind. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So our weapons come from the Spirit of God within us and the Word of God within us. That's our weapons, is His Spirit and His Word are our weapons, and they are mighty for pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so there is a battle, and it's going on in our mind, and we have to actively, purposely bring our thoughts back to what to the truth, and keep our thoughts off of things that aren't truth. Sometimes we confuse incoming information as truth, just because it says so in a book, or you read it on the internet, or you hear it on TV, doesn't mean that it's true. You know, we have to weigh the things that come through our mind gate. It means that the presenter is trying to convince you of their viewpoint. And a lot of people have good arguments to try to convince you. This is how I see it. And they're trying to convince you to see it the same way. And they may be true or not true, or they may be half-truth. And so that's important that we test everything we're hearing by the Word of God, and let the Spirit be a witness within us. As believers, we must be aware. The word "true" in Philippians 4:8 carries the meaning of complete truth, nothing hidden or concealed. When I was a little child, we used to sing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And it says, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little mouth, what you say. And so it's something that we need to consistently every day, as thoughts are bombarding our mind, compare it to the Word. What does the Word say? How does the Spirit within us witness to what we're hearing? Are the words we're hearing, are they blessings or are they cursings? As people of God, as children to God, we are called to bless and not curse. We're even to bless our enemies. And so if there's something negative being said about something, that shouldn't have any part of us. We are called to bless and lift up. Hallelujah. That's who we're called to be. Hallelujah. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When we know what's true, it liberates us. It frees us. It just makes us breathe easier and relax and be comfortable. Hallelujah. It frees us. The second thing it tells us to do is to think on things that are noble. Noble means doing the right thing. High qualities or ideals. High moral values. Excellent qualities. Honorable. And you know what? Noble, there's nobility. People that were born into families of influence. You see that in England. There's the nobility that were born in the right families. And sometimes those people are noble and often they're not. But we have been birthed as children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are nobility. We are nobility, and we need to conduct ourselves as with noble, noble things and nobility. We need to do what's right, what's honorable. Hallelujah. That's the way we need to think and act and carry ourselves as nobility. Hallelujah. That's awesome. We're birthed into it. We're born into God's family, His very own sons and daughters. And we are the nobility in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And before this world, we need to act noble. We need to think noble. Hallelujah. We need to do the right things. And then the third thing it tells us to think on is whatever things are just. The word just means fair, impartial, square, holy, or innocent. Are my thoughts towards others just? Am I feeding into my mind to the standard of just? Am I thinking, am I impartial? Do I love people? How do I love people? Am I impartial? If we are prejudiced in any area, that's the opposite of just or impartial. You know, we're to just love everybody that God loves. And who did God love? Everyone. God loved the world. Hallelujah. The enemy's out to steal our peace any way he can. Whether he succeeds or not is up to me. When I choose to think, talk, and participate in activities that are fair, impartial, above board, and simple, he cannot win. Therefore, I won't clutter my thoughts with craftiness or attempts to get ahead at the expense of others. I will entertain thoughts that are holy and innocent. And in order to do this, I may have to change or eliminate some activities that I previously thought were okay. And we live in a world of competition. You know, competition is real strong, and there are healthy competitions, but many times when people are in competitive sports or anything competitive, a lot of times they take it in personal and they get the wrong attitude toward the person they're competing to. And so as Christians, there's no room for that in our hearts. And so we need to be careful that we don't let wrong attitudes come in things that are competitive. Hallelujah. Because it's just not part of our life as a Christian. And then the fourth thing it tells us to think out of are things that are pure. The Greek word pure here means clean, modest, innocent, chaste, decent, righteous, holy. We live in a world ruled by Satan, and it's dirty, immoral, indecent. Our enemy's time is short, and he knows it, so he really works on people to contaminate them with sin. He's trying to influence us so that we'll be ineffective. You know, if somebody's having a problem, if they're watching unclean movies, movies that don't honor God and His principles, if they're doing any kind of porn, they're contaminated. And they can't not be effective as a Christian witness. And so we need to keep ourselves pure from worldly ideas and things that would hinder us and break our fellowship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Think on good things, on pure things. Hallelujah. On righteous things. Ephesians 5:15 tells believers to live their lives circumspectly. That means to be vigilant and wary. Jesus gave us authority over the enemy, but we have to use it. We have to be vigilant and know when the enemies come and use the authority that we have over him. We can't just coast through life and flow with the flow of the world and defeat the devil. We have to know that we have to be aware of the enemy's plans and how they would contaminate us. Hallelujah. God doesn't set boundaries to limit us, but to protect us and to enhance our lives. We are not to be separated from the world. We are supposed to be a light to the world. But we have to be on guard and diligent that we are the ones that are influencing those around us and that they aren't the ones influencing us. We are to be the ones that influence others. And so we're not to just leave the world around alone, but we're supposed to be out there being light and being an influence on the worldly people. Philippians 4:8 tells us to think on whatever things are lovely. And the Greek word means friendly towards, acceptable, or lovable. We're supposed to have friendly thoughts toward others, or thoughts that's acceptable, thinking loving thoughts of others. Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer." And we need to think, have our eyes on the Lord. The Song of Songs talks about that Jesus is being altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. He's the fairest of the fair. Hallelujah. And so when we're thinking about the Lord and our eyes are on the Lord, you know, we're thinking lovely thoughts. Whatever we're thinking of is what we move towards. When we're thinking of the light and things in the light and the Lord, we're moving towards them and being more like them. If we're thinking about how bad the world is and how evil it is, that's a negativeness that draws us to them. It draws us towards the darkness. When we have our thoughts on good things and the light, we're drawn toward the light. Hallelujah. So it's important that we keep our mind on the Lord and on lovely things and beautiful things. 1 Corinthians 3:7 tells us to believe the best of every person. And it's important as we're thinking about people that we think good thoughts about them. Every person has good things in them. They don't always acting good, but every person has good things in them. And a definition I heard about prophecy is so good. It says the purpose of prophecy isn't to expose the dirt in people. It's to find the gold and bring it to the surface. And everybody has gold. Everybody has a calling. Everybody has a purpose that God purposed for them. Hallelujah. And I just recently heard a testimony Bill Johnson was preaching, and he has people, teenagers, that they go out to worldly people and people of the world, and they get words of prophecy for those people. God's called you to do this and this and this. And because it's true, something deep on the inside of them says yes, yes. And it draws them toward what God wants them to do. And so seeing God's purpose and speaking it to someone will draw them out of the darkness and into the light, in toward what God's purpose is for them. It's just so good to see people through God's eyes. Not look at the surface, not look at what our own eyes see, but see God's purpose and God's plan and love them and see the potential in them. See by the eyes of the Lord and begin to draw out God's purposes for them, because everybody has something deep within them that wants the best. They, you know, a lot of people are so lost to their true identity and what God's purpose and plan really is in their life. And if we live close to Jesus and obeying Him, He will give us eyes to see people through His eyes and begin to draw them out and draw them toward it. Hallelujah. And so it's like, think the best of everybody. Think on things that are lovely. The sixth thing that we're supposed to think about is whatever things are of good report. whatever things of a good report. If you hear something that's a bad report, are you supposed to think on that? No. Think on what's a good report. If it's good, if it's uplifting, put your thoughts on that. You know, just let the bad reports go right on out. Filter them out of your mind. Think on good reports. And good reports are hard to come by. You know, we live in a negative world, and everybody wants to look at the darkness and look at the problems and look what's wrong with everybody else. And good reports are hard to come by. Remember when God told he sent spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And there were 12 spies, and Joshua and Caleb said all the things that God said are in this land. It is a land of abundance. It has all of this wealth and all of this stuff. It's a land of abundance. And they said, let's go up. We can take the land. And the 10 spies that went in, they said, oh, we could never take it. There's giants that are bigger than we are. And were there really giants in the land? There were giants. That was true. But God had said, if you'll go in, I'll give it to you. The people, the 10 men said, we can't take this land. It's a harsh, unforgiving land. The people are giants, and this is what they said. We are grasshoppers in our own sight. Instead of seeing themselves, they were looking at the giants in comparison to their own strength. Remember David when he came up against the giant? That's what the Lord said tonight. He ran toward the giant because he knew God was on his side. And the Lord was fighting with him, and the Lord was going to give him the victory. So no matter what giants we're looking at, we need to look at them through God's eyes and not through our own human abilities. We're to have a good report. Hallelujah. Joshua and Caleb ended up going on into the promised land and enjoying the benefits of it. And the people, the 10 that brought back an evil report and that saw themselves as grasshoppers, they died in the wilderness and they were never able to go in and enjoy the promised land that God had given them. It wasn't the giants that kept them out. It was the grasshopper mentality. We are as grasshoppers. You know, we're not anything compared to them. They spoke doubt and fear, and the evil report kept them from the blessing. God does not want us to keep us from the blessing. He has promised. It's our thoughts, our fears, our self-denial stop the blessings from overtaking us. You know, but we have to realize that we're not doing any of this in our strength. It's by Him. It's through Him. And He is well able to give us the victory no matter what we're facing. He is well able. He is strong. We don't fight in our strength. We fight in His strength. We don't even fight with our own words. We fight with the Word of God that's powerful. Hallelujah. We must line up our thoughts with God's thoughts. In Jeremiah 29:11 says His thoughts. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. We don't want to let the grasshopper mentality keep us from the blessing. Only think and speak good reports. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. Don't ever let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. Don't live as a reaction to darkness, rather live in response to light. So if we see the darkness and we react to it, we're going to be going the wrong direction. We've got to keep our eyes on the light and move into the light. I'm going to read a scripture in Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. It wasn't in my notes, but it just came up in my heart. Isaiah 60, 1 and 2, it says, "Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Well, that's the days we're living in. We're living in days when God's glory is being poured out, and his glory is shining on his people. And we're also living in days where gross darkness covers the people. Where is our attention supposed to be? Whose side are we on? What are we supposed to be looking at? The glory of God, what God's wanting to do. And we put our focus on what God's doing and wanting to do. Then, you know, hallelujah. When the light shines bright, those people lost in darkness will come running to the light. Hallelujah. You can have a dark room and turn off on a light, and where do all the bugs go? You know, they fall, go to the light. And all these lost people in darkness, if we will shine with the glory of the Lord and the presence of the Lord, hallelujah, they're going to see it. They can't help but see it. And there's going to be people that will be drawn to the light because our focus is on Jesus and our focus is on the light. And because we're focusing on him and his power and his glory and his love and his peace, they're going to see a difference in us. But if we get our eyes on how horrible the world is and we just go, "Oh, they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing the other and the Antichrist is probably this one or that one or the other one," and we get our eyes on that, it's just depressing. And we don't have the victory and we don't have what we need to be overcomers. We've got to keep our attention on the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah, the light, the light, the light. That's where our hope is. And that's what will bring hope to this world, is if we get our eyes and attention all on the light and on the Lord. Philippians 4:8 says to think if there be any virtue. The word means strength, power, valor, excellence. And God's word is powerful, and our thoughts should be word motivated, not media driven. How many of our conversations begin with, "Did you hear?" The usual response is either anger, frustration, or fear. When we start our day with the word, the reports we hear do not negatively affect us. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. That's powerful. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. That's powerful. That's awesome. He's with us. He will not leave us. He will not desert us. He's with us. Hallelujah. That's powerful. Satan is the loser and Jesus is the winner. The word says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Hallelujah. We're to have no fear. There's no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. You know, we should never have fear-motivated thoughts. If we see fear in us in any way, fear of sickness, fear of you know, what's going to happen to our country, fear of whatever. You know, there's a million fears. The fear of death is the biggest fear. It's the root fear of all fears. So if there's fear there, we need to get before the throne of God and just soak up his love, because his love will drive out those fears and give us the valor and the strength, and that we need the anointing that we can run toward the giant. giant. Run toward the battle with a spirit of victory and hope. Hallelujah. The gates of hell cannot prevail against Jesus' body, the church, glory. We have the keys to the kingdom and the authority and power to go with it. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. And then the last thing that the Philippians 4:8 says to think of is anything praiseworthy. Whatever's praiseworthy, think on this. If it's worthy of praise, think on this. And God always redirects our thoughts to praise. When we praise, fear, pain, doubt, uncertainty, insecurity, lack of wisdom all have to leave. Hallelujah. It's like when we come into worshiping and praising the Lord, it's just like the darkness just has to flee. You know, it's just like when you filled with light, it just fills your whole being and all of these other things have to just take flight and leave. Some of the reasons that we have to praise is the joy of salvation, the power of God, the love of God, the blessing of life, the blessing of family, the blessing of friends, the blessing of provision, the blessing of peace, the beauty of the world. Hallelujah. We live in a beautiful world God created. It's, you know, when we, how do you feel when you look at a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, or you go to the mountains and you see the streams flowing? You know, those are things that are lovely that we can think on and thank God for the earth he gave us. You know, the hundreds of kinds of animals that he made, that everyone's beautiful in its own way. And we can, you know, we can think of those things. Thank you, Lord, for this earth. You know, thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you that your loving kindness and tender mercies are forever toward me. Thank you, Lord, that you paid for my healing. Thank you that I can be born again and in your family. And there's so many blessings that we have as God's children to put our thoughts on. Hallelujah. Begin and end your day with praise. Praise throughout the day. When fear arises, praise. The best way to redirect your thoughts from negative to positive is pray. As praise. Psalms 34. Let me go there. Here David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. That was a decision he made. He willed to bless the Lord. He says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so he made a decision, I am going to praise the Lord. And then it says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. So when we decide we're going to praise the Lord, it gets down into our soul. It gets down into our emotions. Some, you know, have you ever started praising God when you really didn't feel like it? And what happens pretty soon? You feel like it. It begins to affect your emotions and you feel like praising. You know, sometimes we've had a bad day or we've had a fight or we've had whatever and we've not acted the way we're supposed to act. If we will, in obedient, determine, I'm going to worship the Lord, I'm going to praise the Lord, it changes our attitude. And the devil likes to come along and say, well, you're not worthy. You know, you did this. You know, we don't praise God because we're worthy. We never do. We praise God because he's worthy and he's always worthy. No matter what we did or what kind of day we've had or what somebody else did to us, he's worthy of praise. And if we will get into worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord, it will change our heart. And it will get into our soul where all of a sudden we feel like praising. You know, it affects us. Hallelujah. And then it said, the humble, my soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So it went from David's will to praise God, his decision to praise God, to where it affected his soul, and then it drew other people into where he was. He said, oh, come and let us praise the Lord together. And because he was praising the Lord, they wanted to come praise the Lord together. So that's a process of praise. we make a decision to pray. We make a decision to worship. And as we do, it affects our emotions. And then we draw other people into it. When we turn on the light in our own life, that light goes out to those around us too. It just turns the bad attitude around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise is just a powerful, powerful thing. I love our praise services. I love the way we praise the Lord and worship the Lord. And Sunday, both services, there was such a strong power of the Lord here in the worship and the praise. And I don't know if anybody else is like this, but the more the presence of the Lord is there, it's like the more I want. It's like, oh, this is good. God, I want more of you. And there's something about being in the presence of the Lord that just makes you want to draw even closer. And something I pray all the time, Lord, your presence is with us and it's here, but we want a greater density of your presence. We want the air thicker with your presence. And so it's just like, you know, when we worship the Lord, it draws us in to want to worship him more. Hallelujah. It just makes us hungry, and it's so good. Mark, we were talking about this with Mark, and he said, well, you know, I don't say this to very many people, just Victoria and I have talked about it, but we will have a crusade where so many people came to the Lord and were filled with the Spirit and a lot of people were healed. And when I leave, we fell short of the present, manifest presence of God that he wanted. You know, it's like, when you have God working and moving, you want more. You want more people healed. You want people to feel and experience the manifest presence of God more. Hallelujah. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It just keeps us drawing more and more and more towards the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to read Philippians 4:6-8 in the Message. It just puts it nice. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Wow. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Hallelujah. And when we do, it's like Christ speaks of the anointing, and the anointing within us, it displaces worry at the center of our life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. So this is just something that we need to hear every day. I know I do. I need to hear it every day. Every day, think on good things. Think on good things. Set your thoughts on the Lord. Set your thoughts on the Word. Set your thoughts on good things. Set your thoughts on blessing and not cursing, on what we can bless and how we can bless people, not how we can curse them. You know, it's the flesh that wants to beat up the bad guy. You know, it's the flesh that wants to, you know, beat someone up when they're down anyway. That's the flesh. The Spirit of the Lord always wants to lift people up. He always wants to love them. He always wants to lift them up. And especially if they're lost, wallowing in sin. How much God loves them. And we are carriers of that love. But listen, Ramon, I so honor you. You go to all of the places where the most down and out people are. The people in the gutters, the people that have fallen. And you love them. You just carry God's love to them. You know, the worst sinner needs Jesus the most. They need love the most. And I would say this, you know, I'm very comfortable living around upright people. I'm not comfortable with going sometimes out to those that are really down and out and hurting and failures. But Jesus died. They're people for whom God died. And, you know, I think about all of the false religions in the world and you know, the Hindus and the Muslims. We don't agree with their doctrine or their God, but they are people for whom Christ died. They are people that really have never experienced the true love of God. They don't know a God of love. You know, so it's like our hearts should look at people the way God looks at them. He loves them. He cares for them. And we are his hands and feet on this earth. We are his voice. If we don't love them, if we don't tell them the good news, who's going to? We are his representatives here on this earth. Hallelujah. We're to, so it's important to keep our own thought life right. Keep our own thoughts, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. So how is our attitude toward the people we meet? How is our attitude toward them? How is our feeling toward them? Hallelujah. God loves his creation. He loves his people. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for enlightening our minds with your word. Father, we repent for thinking negative thoughts. We repent for thinking ill of others, and we just repent of wrong thinking and wrong attitudes. Father, wash us with your word. Cleanse us with your word. Father, we ask for the presence of your spirit to be so real in our lives and so close that you, Allahamu hani ayashe, when we say a wrong word, when we say something that would hurt someone, that immediately we'll know it, immediately we'll recognize, because your spirit's in us. And Lord, that make us people that's quick to repent. When we say the wrong thing, let us repent quickly. When we think wrong thoughts, let us repent quickly and turn around and think on good things. Think on, oh, Lahana Shay, with your standard. Father, we've read a scripture that sets your standard for the way we're to think and how our mind is to react and think. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you give us a blueprint for living that will cause us to be a blessing to all those that surround us. Father, we thank you that that love is the standard. Love is the measurement in our life. How's our love walk? How's our love walk? How's our love walk? Father, your love is a standard in our life. Father, we ask that your love will affect everything that we do and say. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray for the lost in Douglas, those that don't know you. Father, we ask that you fill our hearts with compassion and with a passion for the lost. Father, fill our eyes with tears for the lost. All those that's ready to slip into eternity without you at any moment, Father, fill us with a passion and a compassion for the lost.
kova kailia shei. Hemua halani anda bokani tiongo mania shei. Father, let us live our lives in a way that will not let your sacrifice be in vain. We don't want that you would lay down your life, that you would sacrifice your life to save the sinners. And because we aren't responding, because we are not preaching the gospel to every creature, that your sacrifice is in vain. The sacrifice of your life's in vain because we're not doing our part. We're not doing what you told us to do. Father, change our hearts. Give us passion. Give us a passion for the lost. Give us a passion and a love and a compassion for the lost. Father, don't let us live in a ho-hum Christian life and live in complacency, but let us live our lives with a passion of the Lord, with the heart of God beating in our hearts. For Father, we want to care about what you care for. We want to love the people that you gave your life and laid down your life for. Oh, Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for changing our hearts. Give us a hunger for the word that we just will devour it. Give us a hunger for prayer that we just pray until situations are turned around. Father, give us prayer assignments that we will bombard heaven until the answer comes. Father, we say, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Ola kani shalama ane anahana muande leni antoma nani atene ayomohone ayashe elahano kalani atayoho kali ashebari ayotno lilini ola ne mehala ni boya leni ambani ombani ashe leni andana mani ohane abahai ehano hala she. Olenehe mahanona mahai. Olakanayashe halahayoshe. The Lord's wanting us to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I'm listening to you. And I will stand in prayer. I will stand in prayer. When you put a need on my heart, that I will take it seriously and I will bombard heaven and I will pray until I sense that the victory has come. Oh, halere bekano shem halana pihoma didi andelana poshai. And a mahai, when I was growing up, and there was a term in the Pentecostal circles that says, pray it through, praying through, praying through. And sometimes God will put something on our heart, and we need to pray and pray and persevere in prayer until we sense the victory's done. Whether the situation in our eyes have seen it or not, we know it's done. We know it's done. We know it's done in the spirit. We have the release and we say, okay, God, it's yours. It's in your hands. And we know, but God's calling us. He's calling us for a deeper walk with Him, for obedience, that we be sold out to Him. Give Him all that we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody have anything from the Lord you want to?